Welcome to Sabbath School, brought to you by It Is Written. I'm Eric Flickinger, and with me this week again as we continue our study of the book of Deuteronomy is the author of this quarter's adult Sabbath School lesson, Clifford Goldstein. He also happens to be the editor. Cliff, welcome back.
Glad to be back.
All right, so we're looking at week number 10 now, and week number 10 is called Remember, Do Not Forget. It seems like there's a bit of an emphasis there. Remember and do not forget. And in this week's lesson, there's a very interesting story on Wednesday's lesson. Yeah. Talk with me a little bit about that, Cliff.
Well, you know, it's funny. In this lesson, I don't put the name, but many years ago at the GC, there was a very well-known editor. In fact, his name was Roland Hegstead. And he had edited Liberty Magazine from 1959 into the early 1990s. And then I became editor when he retired. And he was kind of a mentor to me. It helped me learn how to edit and writing. He was just all around, just kind of a mentor to me. And it wasn't just writing and editing, but there were many spiritual lessons and things that Roland had taught me. And I remember one in particular. He told me a story how when he was young in his ministry, he and his wife had flown somewhere. And as those of us who fly enough will inevitably experience sooner or later, you get there in toto, you know, you're bodies are there, but somehow or another, your luggage just doesn't make it. And if you're fortunate, within a day or two, it comes, and every now and then, the luggage seems to vanish into the ether or something. But he told me how early in his ministry, they realized the luggage wasn't there and they needed it. And he said he and his wife, right there, right in public at the conveyor belt with a baggage claim, they got on their knees and they prayed, Lord, we need these bags. And then he said to me about 20 years later, he said the same thing happened. They get somewhere and there's no luggage. And he said to his wife, don't worry about it. Insurance will cover it. And he told me that to make a point about even what he was experiencing. And this fits, you know, this week's lesson. As we get into the week, we'll see there's the Lord. See, look at the situation here. They've been slaves. God brings them out of Egypt. They mess up. They're in the wilderness. And then finally, they're getting ready to go into the promised land. And God tells them about all the things he's going to do for them. I mean, Israel would have been in the old SDA Bible commentary. There's this beautiful, beautiful section. I forgot what it's called, something about had ancient Israel been faithful. And it was just this beautiful essay. You don't have to agree with everything in it, but beautiful essay based on Bible and spirit of prophecy about what God would have done for ancient Israel. You know, ancient Israel was to be a witness to the world. God didn't just bring them out of there and put them there just for the fun of it. He wanted to make them, they were his special people, and he was going to prosper them in every which way. You read some of the promises, you know, you'll have plenty of gold and silver and your cattle and sheep and your fields will be abundant. In other words, they were going to be very well off. And then, and it's time and again in Deuteronomy and in other places, he warns, as what Roland Hegstead sort of said to me, in your prosperity, don't forget the Lord. Don't forget. And I think particularly for the Christian church in the industrialized West. Woo! The money, the prosperity. I wrote an article years ago, once called it Middle Class Schnooks. And if you're a plain old middle class schnook in America, or in your whatever, you live, you know, you live, we have more prosperity than we can imagine. And I don't know anything in the Bible anywhere which ever says prosperity is good for you spiritually. Oh, it's great for you physically. You know, who want, you know, oh yeah, you know, it's great. But where does it ever somehow, the more, the richer you are, the more spiritual you are? I mean, Jesus didn't warn the poor. It's easier for a poor man to get into heaven than a rich man. No, no, no. So there is a danger. And I think this then comes back, I think, to the title here for the week. Remember, do not forget. Remember, remember what God has done for you. And inherent in remembering, of course, is not forgetting what God has done for you. And so I think that's, and that again, this was what God was saying to them. And who of us today, as Christians, as believers, isn't in danger of at times forgetting what God has done for us as well? And that's how you can get deviated away. But anyway,
this reference that you've been making several times here, remembering and don't forget, it comes from our memory text from this week, which is Deuteronomy 9, verse 7, which says this: remember, do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. So that concept again, as you've been mentioning, of remembering and not forgetting. And I like the way on Sunday's lesson where you bring together the idea of that remembrance, not forgetting. When it comes to the flood, you know, there was the flood that God sent, but and devastating as it was, and wiping out all the traces of sin and rebellion on the earth, but there was something that came after the flood that was good news. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, again, it's the first time the flood comes. Never happened before. Didn't even rain. Okay, never rain. No wonder they had a hard time believing Moses. You know, this water's, yeah, right, water comes out of the sky, ha, ha, ha. It almost makes you think today, if you would have said to me 20 years ago, I can use my phone to deposit a check in the bank, yeah, right. So anyway, but it says here the Lord would remember the rainbow. In other words, he put the rainbow in the sky to tell the people that's his promise, that he's never going to destroy the world with the flood again, which is very interesting because you got people who say the flood was a local flood. Well, if the flood was a local flood, then every rainbow makes God a liar, because God said very clearly, I put my bow in the sky to tell you that I will never do this again. Well, if it was a local flood, then God is lying, because there have been a lot of local floods. But the point here is like, it's also, even though God said he would remember his covenant, the rainbow was a sign for him to remember. Well, we know God doesn't need to remember it. It was him using human language. But how, in fact, it was so funny. I remember one morning I was driving to work, and I was supposed to give morning worship, and I had the worship all done. And I saw this beautiful rainbow in the sky. And when I got to work, I just ad hoc, I just did the worship off the top of my head based on the rainbow and how we can trust God's promises. He said he would never destroy the world by a flood again. And well, obviously he didn't, or I wouldn't have been there to remember his covenant, but it's just, it was there as a sign to us. People say, well, we now, science has now explained what the rainbow is, therefore that's ludicrous. No, no, no. All science does is show us how God put the bow in the sky. He put the bow in the sky by having water and light reflect and so on. Science has done nothing to disprove the covenant promise of the rainbow. But I think the important point here is that we can trust God will keep up his end of the covenant that he makes with us. He kept it up in Jesus. And we have to remember not to forget. Remember what God has done for us and not forget what God has done for us. And then we have to also remember and not forget what God asks us to do as a result of what he has done for us.
So he's given us that rainbow to remind us so that we can remember and not forget all the things that he's done for us. In Monday's lesson, there's an interesting passage here from Deuteronomy chapter 4, starting in verse 32 and running down through verse number 39. It really talks about the way that God had been with them in the past. And we have just a short bit of time here before we take a break. But let's dig into Monday's, and if we have to come back after the break to dig a little bit more into this concerning the days that are past, we can do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is just beautiful. Look at Deuteronomy. He's speaking to them. He's speaking to his people. For ask now of the days that are past. In other words, inquire into the past of that which was before thee. Since the day that God created man on the earth. So he's going right back to the beginning. Right back to the beginning. And he's saying, and ask from one side of heaven to the other. In other words, time-wise and geographically, he's just trying to cover everything. In other words, there was ask if there ever and anywhere had ever been whether there has been such a thing as this great thing is or has been heard like it. Did people ever hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of fire, as thou hast heard and live? Or has God gone to take him a nation from the midst of another nation, by temptations, by signs, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, and by outstretched terrors, according to all that the Lord had done God did in Egypt before your eyes? We probably ought to stop here because we're running out of time. But he's saying, look at what has been done. Nothing like this has ever been done ever before.
And we're going to dig into that again in just a moment or two. But I want to remind you, if you haven't already picked up the companion book to this quarter's Sabbath school lesson, adult Sabbath school lesson, Deuteronomy, the Book of Love by Yuri Moskala, you want to make sure you pick that up at itiswritten.shop. You can find it there, and it will add immensely to your study of this quarter's lesson. We're going to be back in just a moment as we continue looking at concerning the days that are past.
Thank you for remembering that It Is Written exists because of the kindness of people just like you. To support this international life-changing ministry, please call us now at 800-253-3000. You can send your tax-deductible gift to the address on your screen, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com. Thank you for your prayers and for your financial support. Our number again is 800-253-3000, or you can visit us online at itiswritten.com.
Welcome back to Sabbath School, brought to you by It Is Written. We're continuing now with lesson number 10, looking at concerning the days that are past.
Oh, yeah.
Let's jump back into this.
Oh, yeah. So he's saying to them about all the things that God has done. He's saying, was there ever anything done like this? And then Deuteronomy 4, verse 35. Let me just read a little of the Hebrew here. Ata har eta l'da'at ki Adonai hu eha Elohim, ein od milvado. For you it was shown that the Lord, He is God, ein od milvado. There is no other. And min ha-shamayim hishma'aka et kolo. And from heaven He made you hear His voice to instruct you upon the earth and to show and showed you His great fire and His words you have heard mitok ha'esh, from the midst of the fire. And for the Lord God loved your fathers, and He chose His seed, Aharav, after Him, and He brought you out, you know, by His great power from Egypt to make you possess nations greater and stronger from you and from before you, to bring you, to give to you their land as an inheritance, Kayom Hazeh. And He goes on, because here, V'yadata Hayom, know today, V'heshevot alevaveka, and consider it on your heart. Consider it on your heart. Ki Adonai hu ha-Elohim ba-shamayim mima'al v'ha'aretz mitahat ein od. And know today and consider it in your heart that the Lord, He is God in heaven from above, al ha'aretz mitahat, on the earth from beneath, and there is no other. Now, the thing that's important about this, too, is you got to remember the context. These were people who had lived for, centuries in polytheistic environment. They were going around. They were going to be in the midst of polytheistic nations. They were going to be around all this polytheism. And, there was a big debate whether ancient Israel was really truly monotheistic, as we understand monotheism. And there's evidence, like, you shall have no other gods before me. The implication that there were other gods and that Israel wasn't supposed to worship them. Well, I don't believe that, okay? I believe that Israel was, and some argued it was only much later in Israelite history that they went from this henotheism, it's called, belief that there were other gods, but only Yahweh was the one they were to worship. They say this was later in the prophets. But look, you've got here early in Israelite history. Know that, consider that the Lord, He is heaven above, ain od, there is no other. He is the only God, and He was Israel's God. And they were to, and I guess the bottom line in all this is, has anything like this ever happened before? And the answer, it's a rhetorical. It's God's being very rhetorical here, but it's, He's got to speak to us where we're at. And it's like, no, nothing like this has ever been done. I've done it for you, and don't you forget it. That's sort of what's going on here in very human terms. So
the book of Deuteronomy, by and large, is Moses helping God's people to remember where God has brought them from. We've looked at, he takes them all the way back to creation. He takes them back to the flood. And over again, he just says, hey, remember, don't forget. Remember, don't forget. We've often heard the phrase that those who don't study the past or don't learn from the past are doomed to repeat it. And I think to a great extent, that's what Moses was hoping, is if God's people could remember the past, they would make better decisions moving forward into the future. And in Tuesday, he hits this a couple of times in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9. He says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren. And he virtually repeats himself in verse 23. Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you, and make for yourself a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. He says, take heed, remember, don't forget. It's beautiful the way he just keeps bringing people back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This Deuteronomy 4:9 was one of my favorite texts in the Hebrew. It goes, Rak hishamer luka ushmor nasheka me'od. Only take heed to yourself. The word shamar is to keep. It's to keep. It's to watch. So it's only keep yourself and ushmor and keep your soul diligently. And the word soul there is really, it would really be literally and keep your life, your being, you know, diligently, lest you forget the things which thine eyes have seen. And, you know, when Jesus told the parable of the sower, and there was the one who the weeds come up and choke out, it's just so easy. It's so easy to forget the way the Lord's leading in our lives, especially when things go well. Who hasn't noticed that? Again, it's when things go well that it's so, you know, who of us, you know, the old saying, there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. You know, when the bullets are flying and the shells are exploding overhead and, you know, when the Wehrmacht is coming or whatever, my father, I use an example. My father, you know, grew up religious Jew, threw it out when he was older, but he was a soldier in World War II. And he just said, I knew there was one night I knew the Germans were going to kill us. He said, I knew we were going to die, his whole group. And he prayed. He prayed. And then he said when he survived the night, he said he felt like such a hypocrite. He felt like such a hypocrite. And I think here, if we go, look at Wednesday's lesson. Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18. Look at particularly, well, look at, let's go. Look at, you know, he says, for when the Lord brings you into a good land of brooks and water and valleys, a land of wheat and barley and fig and pomegranates, and when you eat your bread, you now shall not lack for anything in it. And he goes on, and then verse 10, when you are eaten and are full. And I'm not reading it out of the Hebrew here, but I'm pretty sure the word full there, shamein, when you are fat, to put it bluntly, when you are fat, when you are satiated. And then he says, then thou bless the Lord thy God, which he has given thee. In other words, you need to keep the Lord before you. Beware lest you forget not the Lord thy God. And then verse 12, lest when thou were eaten and full and hast built good houses and dwell therein, and thy herds and flocks multiply, and thy silver and gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, that then that your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Wow. Wow. He said, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do all this for you. I'm going to give you great material prosperity. Because that was to be part of their witness. That was to be part of their witness to the ancient world. He says, I'm going to do this. But don't you forget the Lord your God. And sure enough, what did they do? They forgot the Lord their God. And I think that's got to be a lesson, particularly to us in the Christian West, quote unquote, in the West, in the developing nations, because it's very easy to be satiated and filled, and yet still, you can be all the rich, all that you want, but you're still going to die. And you got an eternity waiting for you on the other side of death. And it's going to be one thing, eternal death or eternal life. So in many ways, the deceitfulness of riches. Woo, woo. It can lull you right in to the second resurrection. Anyway, on that positive note.
Well, you know, there is one more thing, and we've got a short period of time to dig into it. But Thursday's lesson, he says, remember that you were a slave.
Oh, yeah.
And over again here in the book of Deuteronomy, we find that. Deuteronomy 5:15, he says, remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath. And throughout the book of Deuteronomy, we find that same thing. Remember, you were a slave in Egypt. In just the short bit of time we've got left, why is that so important, this concept that they were a slave and God brought them out?
Well, I think there's two levels here. There's, of course, the spiritual level, slaves to sin and bondage to sin. You know, the lesson brings up Ephesians 2:8-13, when you were once aliens from, I think that's what, you were without aliens from the commonwealth, strangers with no hope, and so on. In other words, this is God saved them from sin and from eternal destruction. So you've got that element, slaves to sin and so forth. But then, and there's another lesson, and I think we've already covered it, but there is how they were to treat the poor and the weak and the needy among them. Look, you were once at the bottom of the barrel. You were once slaves. You know, not just of sin, but literal slaves. Therefore, you know, keep the Sabbath, remember, and that would help them remember. You know, it's fascinating. On the Sabbath, it's almost they're all equal because everybody was supposed to rest on the Sabbath day. And so it was also a way, I think, for them to remember to make sure you treat the weak among you the way you would want to be treated. So that's how I see it in a nutshell.
So this week, remember, do not forget. God wants us to remember who He is and the plan that He has for our lives. And if we're willing to do that, He has great plans for us in the future. God wants to make your life a fantastic life. And by His grace, we'll remember what He's done in the past and He'll help us in the future. God bless you. Thank you once again for joining us for Sabbath School. And we look forward to seeing you again next week.